And more now about the grounded Boeing 737 MAX jet with the faulty software that made the nose point down no matter what the pilots did. As we just heard, the planes may be back in the air by December with new software from Boeing and training for pilots. 2 weeks ago, there was reporting that the FAA would let the grounded planes back by October. We spoke then with Michael Stumo and Nadia Milleron, parents of 24-year-old Samia Stumo, one of 157 killed on Ethiopian Airlines Flight 302 when it crashed after takeoff in Ethiopia, just 5 months after the crash of Lion Air Flight 610 in Indonesia. The parents were adamant October was too soon to bring the MAX 737 back. Now, they say December makes more sense, but they're wary. Michael Stumo and Nadia Milleron have also joined other family members in filing a lawsuit against Boeing for what they say is the wrongful death of their daughter. They say it was known the planes were faulty. Let's check in with them. Michael, Nadia, I can't even imagine how you feel when I say the flight number. So thank you so much for speaking with us.
You're welcome.
Yeah, it still continues to be awful. Reality that we can't quite even come to terms with.
I know. And there's two things going on here. Your campaign now is to make sure nobody else goes through this. And you wrote this, Nadia, in a piece for CNN. You want to make sure all the investigations have been completed, including an independent study ordered by the Transportation Secretary, Elaine Chao, and a grand jury investigation conducted by the Department of Justice. The FAA knew there was a problem after the first crash in Indonesia, just like Boeing seemed to know that there was an issue and didn't tell the pilots or all the pilots how to overcome it. What do you think should happen?
We should leave no stone unturned. So what we learned is that there are parts of this plane that never had to be reviewed that are ancient. The 1967 type certificate that this plane has, these have only been amended type certificates that have occurred all the way since 1967. So you have parts of the plane which are not at all up to the safety standard of 2019. So for example, there's only one sensor for a float in the fuel tank, which if that sensor failed, then the fuel tank could overflow and then there would be fuel everywhere and that would be a fire hazard. So these are huge issues.
Well, and you and other families have become activists. You've tried to talk to officials, including Ali Bahrami. He's the new head of safety for the FAA, an engineer, but also a longtime industry executive. What happened?
Ali Bahrami spoke at a Senate hearing on the last day of July, and we were involved in a documentary film production about my daughter's life. And when we were exhausted and finished with the day of filming and we were having our supper, I looked at my phone and my phone was blowing up. There were messages from all of the 64 families that we're in touch with, families of the victims in the crash, saying, who is this guy, Ali Bahrami? He just admitted this morning in his Senate testimony that he knew there was a problem. So I thought, and all the families thought, that admitting that in front of the Senate should immediately get him fired.
Yeah, that was the testimony where he suggested that the pilots were culpable in the crashes. He had to pull that back because, of course, the pilots said, wait a second, we were not informed.
So we saw the testimony on YouTube. Then we decided to drive to D.C. to answer him. We got there early in the morning, we started calling the press. We called our liaison at the FAA to tell him we were coming. They tried to make a meeting with Ali Bahrami and us instead of protesting because we can explain his comments. I said, his comments are his comments. They don't need explaining. Then we did go into his office at 3 p.m. And the lack of thinking about what the FAA could do better in the future was unbelievable. The man is as hard-boiled as they come. And he continued on like that with my son saying, Mr. Bahrami, with 2020 vision, looking back at the Indonesian crash, what could the FAA have done to prevent the crash in Ethiopia? He said, nothing. We could have done nothing to prevent the crash. Then we said, what does the FAA need to be able to prevent such crashes? He said, we're all set. We said, well, we understand that software. You don't have engineers to do software analysis. He said, oh, well, that's a matter of the market. There's not enough aviation software engineers to fill all the jobs available. And I said, well, don't you think you could make a call out there and say, we've got to have these software engineers, or we can't certify planes that have software that needs analysis? Mm. It was a horrifying conversation in terms of what it revealed about the agency and how they talk to us like they're Boeing. They said, we were disappointed that we couldn't get the planes back up in the summer. Why would the FAA, a safety agency, be disappointed about that? Mm. When Ted Cruz said three times in our discussion with him that the FAA is a captured agency, this is what he means, and we can't just accept that.
You know, it just strikes me, it's just horrifying that you have to have a loss, and then you have to be the voices to try to make sure that nobody else has a loss. And maybe seeing your daughter here, can you tell us a little bit about her? She sounded pretty extraordinary. She wasn't just on a plane. She was flying from Ethiopia to Kenya for her first assignment with a developmental organization, a health system?
Global health, a global health organization, a nonprofit.
Yeah, tell us about it, Michael.
She was amazing. She taught herself to read at age 4. She was raising pigs at age 7. She was driving a dump truck around our farm at age 10. She went to school for college for a year at age 14. Went to Peru, did some field research for University of Massachusetts during a program there, and got involved in global health issues, and wrote an academic poster as a young undergrad, won a national award, the competition at the American Anthropology Association. She ended up getting a full-ride scholarship to the University of Copenhagen School of Global Health, graduated from there, one of their most published graduates and master's program, and got a job with ThinkWell in Washington, D.C., which did bottom-up, patient-centered change-type work in global health as opposed to top-down that would have effects on patients that they don't often detect. And so ThinkWell had a program funded by the Gates Foundation to do global health work in East Africa. They needed to set up some offices. Samuel was 2 months into the job and was assigned to go and help set up the offices. It's a job. She was so mature, not only in intelligence sense, but she was, you know, socially mature and charismatic. Usually they don't have someone do that kind of job, work with local governments and businesses to set up offices until you're, you know, in your 30s, but she was deemed mature enough to that she should lead it. Of course, we wish she hadn't, and that's where she was headed. So she texted us when she was on layover in Addis Ababa, said, I'm about to get on the plane on the way to Nairobi, and she never made it.
A terrible loss for us all, and multiplied by all the other victims. Nadia, you are understandably angry. You want things to change. What's the one thing you would tell people that they could do to be a part of your effort?
They should contact the aviation subcommittees for the House and the Senate and demand that Boeing testify and demand that the Congress put pressure on the FAA so that they don't put the planes back into service until they have found out all this information.
That's Nadia Milleron, along with Michael Stumo, parents of 24-year-old Samia Stumo, one of the 157 people killed on Ethiopian Airlines Flight 302 last March. And they've also filed a lawsuit, as others have. Nadia, Michael, please keep us posted, and thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.